biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. And I have the rest of the bad boys with me tonight. King Lucky, what's up?
Holla, 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 holla.
No doubt. Simon Street, what's up?
What up, everybody?
Yes, yes. And then we have Matt Michaels.
So this morning when I was looking in the mirror, when I was brushing my teeth, I happened to notice, and this is the first time, I don't know if any of you guys have noticed before, that time that hits you when you realize that your Evans is really Lacey. It's amazing. It's not good.
That's just as relevant as her just walking down the ramp.
The ramp. Why? Yeah. Why? Know,
and going back up.
So. She's going to be a huge star.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Maybe that's what that meant.
Yeah.
We're going to go right into our 1, 2, 3 count show. Let's do it.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
1, 2, 3.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
All right. So check this out. Our first topic tonight, we have the women's tag team, first ever, I should say, tag team championship taking place at the Elimination Chamber. Now, it was kind of predicted that Sasha and Bayley was going to be the women's first ever women's tag team champion, and they definitely should be congratulated for that. But I'm just asking, should the titles have went to a real tag team like the Iconics or Ruby Riott or Mandy and Sonya instead of sort of this on-the-fly made-up tag team? I mean, what's your take on that? Anyone?
I think the belts went to the right team,
mm-hmm.
100%. The girls have been together for a while, you know, and I think they have great chemistry, you know, and both of them needed a rub. You know, they both needed a rub. They have been stuck creatively.
Tell us more about the rub that those girls need.
So I think that it was definitely a good place because Sasha's one of the best performers on the roster.
Right.
Bayley is too, but just Bayley's got the promo skills of drywall. I love Bayley. Bayley, I love you.
Right.
But it just never translates. So I think they did the right thing and gave them the belts. They earned it. So it was well deserved.
Okay. I mean, what do you guys think?
I think that the idea that this is the first time they've had women's tag champs is total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had tag champs before.
Right.
You know. I think that the belts probably come out of an area in which I'm assuming probably there was talk. My perspective is there was probably talk by some of the women.
Okay.
You know, wouldn't it be nice, you know, and kind of putting that seed out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, not maybe even intentionally, but by bringing that up and by the fact that they have more women now who are competitive and you need more of a showcase for them. And potentially, if you're looking at maybe splitting off into, you know, a women's show, kind of like a 205 Live, where you do an hour after a SmackDown or hour after Raw. It makes sense.
Right.
Were they the right ones to do it? Yeah, because you have the popularity there. It's just starting the belts off, so why not?
Okay.
But at the same time, I really think that it is the aim. I still don't... I can't say that you're going to have WrestleMania be Charlotte, Ronda, and Becky. I think it's going to be Ronda and Becky. I think Charlotte will end up against Asuka, mm-hmm. so that all four of them can have belts in the end of the night in the ring all together.
Oh, I see.
Wow. Well, that's strong.
Yeah.
That's strong.
I mean, if they do it that way, then now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. What do you think, Simon? I mean, what do you think? Let me ask you. I know you're a huge Sasha Banks fan. What does this do as far as her? I mean, she's already had a singles run. She's already been women's champion. Is that four times now? What is that going to do with now her having another chance for a singles run, or even Bayley having a singles run now that they're tag team? Why not give it to, you know, start the franchise out with, Mandy and Sonya?
I will say that they did pick the right two.
Okay.
I will say they are not on the fly tag team. I think you have people that are together, where you assume that they'd be great tagging together, mm-hmm. whether they're actually established or not. And in fact, that's what you watch NXT when you think of Iconics, because the Iconics, you know, when they were first in NXT, they mm-hmm. were with each other all the time. They had each other's back, so it only just easily made sense that they became a tag team. What does it do for Sasha? I think it's good for her accolades that she already has. I think it's good just in general, because if you look at the best way to introduce those titles, you want to introduce it toward the core audience of younger girls. And okay. I think that on the roster, if you really look at it, Sasha and Bayley have done a great job of being that for young girls.
Right.
So when you look at
and they're also the established talent.
Very true. I was going to get to that.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
I was going to get to that part. as what Matt was cluing into, yes, they are the established talent. And you want to start your tag titles or any new title that you can mm-hmm. with established talent. Because when you do that, you raise the expectation. You raise the bar of what they're looking for. And that's not to say that if it had went to the Iconics yeah. or if it had went to even Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, that it wouldn't have been good. But I think that it's a no-brainer.
Okay. Wait, feller. Did you just say it raises the bar? It doesn't only raise the bar. It is the bar, fella.
Thank you. Yes, it does. But I will just say, let me close it by saying this, is sure. that for me as a fan, because I'm a huge Sasha fan, as everybody knows who knows me,
right.
but my daughter is a big Bayley fan.
Okay.
And so it was kind of a cool moment for me and my daughter that, you know, my favorite pick and her favorite pick are women's tag champs. And it was a cool moment for me to have with my daughter, because I called her on the phone and told her, hey, guess sure. who just won the belts? And she was like, oh, that's really cool. It's like us. We're a tag team.
Yeah, but does it sadden you or does it sadden her to know that her favorite is about as good as cutting a promo as drywall?
I think that my daughter is not a smart mark, I'm pretty sure. Mm. And she's not really concerned with that. But again, I think that what Bayley is, she can get away with that because of what she garners with the younger audience.
I have no problem. I don't think she's drywall at all.
I don't, but, you know.
But, you know, some people around here probably do.
Some smart.
I don't know where I've heard it before. But
smart marks. Smart marks.
I love you, Bayley.
But, yeah, I didn't already talk too much, but I'm just super happy that happened to them. And I like to see what the title defenses are going to be. How are they going to structure that? How are they going to dole that into? They did make a statement that they want to be fighting champions, whether it be SmackDown,
right.
Raw, or NXT. Mm-hmm. So I want to see how that transcends going forward, because if they do it right, mm-hmm. it could, again, be another opportunity to showcase the NXT talent. Hell, even UK talent, if they take it that far. And it's a new thing for us to be excited about.
So basically, they're going to be wrestling Ciampa and Gargano next week.
You know what? I'll pay to see that. I'll pay to see that. Especially with Johnny Gargano being so tan.
How tan is he?
He's tanner than Nia Jax.
Well, speaking of Nia Jax, so if Nia Jax and Tamina would have won those belts, would have been pleased with that as well? I mean, either one of you, or Sasha and Bayley definitely should have been the first ones out.
All depends on how they book them. And in my opinion, with those two women, it all depends how they book them. If they made them like the Wrecking Crew mm-hmm. and they ran through everybody and they just didn't give two shits.
Right.
For me personally,
okay.
I'd have been excited if that's how they book it.
I thought that's what was going to happen.
Well, I mean, like I said, it didn't happen. Sure. Sasha and Bayley are right. the champions.
Okay.
So. I knew from the beginning that Sasha and Bayley were going to win.
Right.
Most people
because
did.
Because Raja told you?
That's right. Shout out to Raja. But
do you smell that?
I can't wait till they become sponsors.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I was looking for how they were going to eliminate Tamina and Nia Jax, and Nia eliminated herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eliminated Tamina. So overall, I thought the match was very good. There were some excellent spots in that match. I really liked the pinning sequence with the Iconics. That was just an incredible move.
Yeah.
But I would have been fine with Tamina and Nia winning.
Yeah.
I think they deserve a little bit of a rub, too. You know, they've... Tamina can never get over. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know what, though? And that was the brilliance of the interviews when they were doing those, you know, set interviews with the kind of like...
The vignettes?
The vignettes or whatever, yeah. And the fact that Nia kept talking and every time Tamina was
right.
trying to say something, Nia just kept going.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's brilliant. That's how you should be using her. That's great. Because it adds just a little more personality between the team and can also turn them face at some point just by doing that gimmick.
I agree. Also, rumor has it.
Okay.
You know me, I'm Mr. Spoiler.
Yes.
Spoilerville. but the rumored match for Mania is Sasha and Bayley versus Trish Stratus and Lita. So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Is it for the belts?
For the belts.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I outside of that match, I'd like to see them in the Iconics because I thought the Iconics told an incredible story going into.
Right.
You know, and
there is one problem with the Iconics right now. They're not at the same work rate in the ring.
Oh yeah,
that's 100%. True.
And that's and you know, but they are, you know, they're on the level of Carmella, where Carmella was, you know, about a year and a half ago. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but what you could look at is you could look at TakeOver how Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair rose to the occasion. So they very well could rise to the occasion with those kind of workers.
But here's the thing. It makes sense what you're saying, but you have to realize Bianca Belair was able to do that because it was in the confines of her character preset anyways. It was almost like who she was anyways is they knew she had power. They promoted her as power. So for her to overcome the way she did with Shayna Baszler made sense. Not to say that the Iconics aren't promoted like they're not good. I'm saying that
well,
how do you spin that?
Yeah, there's a difference. The Iconics are doing... Instead of chicken shit heel, they're kind of caught in chicken shit where they're just, you know, they're afraid. They're mm-hmm. always afraid.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of offsets it where a chicken shit heel, they're always going to be. That's what Carmella was really good at.
Yes.
Is the cheating to win. Whereas right now, I think they just still haven't found that niche there for them yet. But they're damn close. I just wish they would go that extra step. And instead of just making them mouth heels, you know, and come down to the ring and stuff, just making them all out heels. And honestly, even though they really don't need it, it would be something to put a manager with them.
Maybe like a Paul Heyman.
No.
Why not?
Maybe
I'd
like
not.
A,
do that.
Maybe like a Vicky Guerrero.
Oh hell no.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vicky. I love you too, but
you would just—they'd be obnoxious. But going back to your point, Matt, about Carmella, is there anything that she can't do? I mean, except for Corey Graves. But, I mean, is there anything that she can't do?
Wow.
I mean, she's amazing. I mean, too soon?
Oh, okay. That was way too soon, man. Yeah. That's not even substantiated.
But you look at her evolution from NXT to the main roster, and to me, everything she has done has been outstanding.
I mean, I'll give you that. I wasn't a fan of Carmella.
I know you wasn't.
And she's definitely a stepped her game up.
Anything they put her with, they put her in there with Charlotte, Becky. You put her in there.
When she won Money in the Bank, that's when I kind of. But at the same time, I going back to the whole tag team women's championship. I wouldn't know where, wouldn't give her the belt, her and Naomi. I wouldn't have gave that to her at all, though. Not yet. Not yet. What's up, Simon?
I will say that the one thing that I appreciate so much with women's wrestling right now, not just WWE, but other promotions, I like that you're getting a wider variety. And in my opinion, I remember back in the day, you didn't always get that. I tend to see women in wrestling long, you know, when I was younger, see more of that variety when they were in a manager capacity. But when they were in-ring competitors, it almost looked like they were comfortable with a certain type of wrestler, and they kept with that. And so, like, I like now that you have different styles, like you said, Chicken Sid heel, or you'll have a powerhouse, or you'll have, you know, someone that's crafty, you know. I like that because it gives variety and it gives more opportunity for people coming up to where, hey, I'd like to maybe do it down the way of maybe this way or that way versus it just be one person, because then down the road, that may not be great for women's wrestling.
Well, I think that has a lot to do, too, with, you know, when I started training, you know, you're talking over 15 years ago, where we in class did have one or two women training. And now it's evolved to a point where the women do train with the men, and they wrestle the intergender matches, where some are yet still showy and, you know, are, you know, more gimmicky. But you're starting to see a more competitive basis, mm-hmm. and now you're seeing, you know, companies starting to go with that format of a little more, we can do intergender stuff, because the women are now athletic and they're being trained. I think the difference is they're being trained with more of a spirit of, these women can do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I think it was still the mentality, you know, even going back to when I was training, that, you know, oh, that's nice, young lady. That's yeah. nice. Try it. But, you know, this is a rough business. Rough business. You don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Got
that
you.
Actually, that was actually a really good impression of a shitty-ass person.
All right. Well, we're going to go to our number two ring count for the night. Let me hear two.
Two.
There we go. Two.
Two. Two.
Okay. All right, so check this out. AEW sold out Double or Nothing in 4 minutes when they went on
sale. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Was that a boner I just saw, Lucky?
Yeah. Omega.
Oh, my gosh.
You went Omega.
The Elite. So look, they sold out Double or Nothing in 4 minutes when they went on sale this past Wednesday at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And then, of course, due to that, the presale that took place a few days earlier, the presale sold out in 24 minutes. Now, the G1 Supercard, which is a co-branding event with ROH and New Japan Wrestling, sold out Madison Square Garden in 20 minutes and is also the first non-WWE wrestling show held at this famous arena. So what I want to ask is, should these brands figure out, apparently being co-branded, doing one major arena in a major city every month, being that demand appears to be so high? What do you guys think of that? And instead of this once or twice they do a year, why not do a major city? LA, New York, Boston, Miami. They could do one of these. Of course, it's got to be co-branded. It won't mess up the storylines. They still can have their shows that they do within a weekly basis. But when they want to come together to do a big show to bring all the folks together, why not try that out? Do you think that would be something that would work? Or right now, just doing one every year or two every year is just the way to do it.
I think a couple every few months, because, you know, you're at a great point in wrestling right now, and you don't want to oversaturate it. You have AEW, you've got WWE and all their hours, and so I think you can generate interest like they're doing by going into Madison Square Garden, by doing it every so often.
Well, I'll definitely say, first of all, we don't have AEW. We have an event by AEW. So until they get a TV deal and a schedule that I can salivate and ponder about and put in my TV watching of wrestling throughout the week schedule, I can't really honestly say AEW, but it does look promising. I think that nobody should change anything. I think anything that they're doing right now is a good time, kind of like what Lucky's saying, to experiment, see what works, see what doesn't work. I think that down the road, it could only be beneficial for many different promotions that can come and collaborate. A big event in a city,
mm-hmm.
great. But I think for right now, I mean, sheesh. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep it going. I mean, the fact that, you know, New Japan Pro and ROH sold out Madison Square Garden, that in itself is a great accomplishment, you know, and it should, I mean, nobody should be trying to do something different. Hell, do it again.
I mean, the way it's looking is professional wrestling right now is really hot. I mean, it's really taking off right now. Fans are interested in all the brands. Why not take advantage of that right now? And
well, they are. They're doing it right now. They're taking advantage of it.
But we're having, and you're right, there are. But at the same time, we're having one show for the G1 Supercard. That's probably going to be the only one for the year. We don't know if AEW is going to plan to do, I mean, I guess there is plan maybe to do another show after Double or Nothing. But if that is, we're talking two shows within an entire year. Why not try to see a way that we can get more shows across the U.S. where all the wrestling fans don't have to worry about trying to fly across the country to see something that they're in, you know, really involved at. So that's what I'm thinking. Why not try to see how to make this work? Not to make it a hard travel plan like WWE or anything.
You're so good at spending other people's money.
Sorry, Khan.
No. That's exactly what I was about to say.
No, go
that's
ahead.
Exactly
go ahead.
What I was about to say.
Go ahead.
It comes to two things that pop in my mind. Number sure. one is money. When you're talking about possibilities of generating an event, collaborating with other promotions,
yeah.
you better freaking talk about money first. Second of all,
yeah.
you also need to look at the simple fact that you're talking about working with other promotions. It's not like you just come together, have a couple of beers, and, oh, let's put on a great show. That's what made All In really special,
mm-hmm.
was because, in my mind, because you had all these different promotions that by some way were able to work together. Now, to what capacity, we really don't know. But I'm saying that the product, were you not satisfied, fellas, with the product from what you saw? I was.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, there's no doubt about it. But at the same time, the realistic thing about it, a couple different things. Number one, Madison Square Garden, it's a lot of money, you know. And so they have to do a supercard draw where you're going to get a cross base of fans to one area. You also are doing it the reason they're doing it. It's funny because there's this idea again of, oh, they're giving the WWE competition because they're doing it WrestleMania weekend. Well, they're doing it WrestleMania weekend for a reason.
Yeah, that's where the majority of all the fans
people are fucking there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if they were running MSG, you know, in, let's say, May,
mm-hmm.
a random weekend in May, you're going to get a crowd. You're going to get people who are going to come, but you're not going to have the base already there.
Right.
Now, taking a show, and let's say they plan four dates.
Okay.
Okay, major dates around the country. The problem that I've always seen, and I hope AEW is very smart to this when they start figuring out how they're going to do their shows in terms of tapings and stuff, is look at what happened to WCW when they were taking the show around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they started not being able to draw the houses.
Right.
But they continued to take it around the country instead of consolidating. All right. Same thing happened with Impact.
Well, they could have also done smaller arenas too. Well, they were doing big size arenas like WWE too. Why not
create
smaller?
That's the thing. The thing is when the engine is running,
mm-hmm.
you lose sight of that fact. So right. they should have scaled down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they shouldn't have been traveling that much.
True.
And that's the same thing that happened with TNA. Okay? Impact Wrestling, which is totally separate now from those TNA days.
Right.
But what they were trying to do was essentially, quote-unquote, compete. And you don't want to compete with the big dog
mm-hmm.
in that sense of going around the country and having to rent all these different arenas and spaces. And then you have to pay people to be crew, you know, and to
yeah.
drive the trucks and right. to break it down and set it up. There's so much that goes into it more yeah. than talent.
And the great thing is, I like that you said it with TNA, because I watched TNA way long before turn into Impact. And for a long time, they were very stationary, Universal Studios, just like NXT. Mm-hmm. And that's when, in my opinion, maybe not counting the talent now, but I would say with TNA, that's when it was at its height. That's when it was people were taking a notice. They're like, oh, crap. I mean, what is this? And you're right, because they were able to consolidate, pretty much downsize, keep things small. But when they started traveling, at first I was excited. I was like, whoa, TNA travels now?
Yeah.
Crap, that's freaking awesome. But then I noticed that started the trend, it seems.
The key thing, it happened to ECW, too. Because ECW started trying to do that. And the fact of the matter is that you couldn't make the same gate because you couldn't necessarily. ECW was trying to put a product out there on the road in which the television product wasn't even fully recognized nationally. Mm-hmm. And, in areas like Los Angeles, we were able to still sell out the pay-per-view.
Right.
But I look at TNA when they did the big show, their WrestleMania,
right?
They did it in LA. It didn't sell out.
Mm.
And that's a wrestling city,
right?
You know, that's a place that should sell tickets. Yeah. So it's a gamble when you're trying to, even if you set up four dates across the country.
Yeah.
It makes sense if the wrestling audience is already going to be consolidated in there. You know, so if you're going to be taking a gamble.
The only thing about that, though, is that if the dates that they, I guess that go along with the dates here for AEW, that's not being consolidated around a big wrestling event, and it's sold out, you know, so.
Let's look at it like this. The thing is that...
But I get what you're saying. You're right.
But the thing is AEW is running one date so far.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So and they did one date last year.
Right, exactly.
So the thing is if you do it three more times this year...
Correct. You don't think tickets, it would be as...
It starts losing its effectiveness.
I got you.
Okay. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
When you see a movie for the first time and it opens out, there's a big buzz. They get a huge... If it did well with their promotion, right? But if you watch that same movie or look at the stats, I don't know, maybe 3 months from now before it goes onto Netflix or whatever the heck, right? It's going to dissipate. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think necessarily the same movie. I think that, you know, if you have a good movie, see, it's hard to compare because a movie is one standalone thing. And you can take it and you can watch it 30, 40 times, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I like where you're going with this. In the terms of, okay, the first movie was great. The second movie was really good. People were really buzzing. The third movie, okay. The fourth movie, the fifth movie, fuck. The sixth movie, can you fucking kill this franchise now?
Right.
You know, so it just varies on what the product is that you're presenting along with that as well. Mm-hmm. So this card might be, you know, good. Will this card live up to the last? Because it's going to inevitably be compared to the first one.
Right, true.
And if this one is even better, then the next time they try to do it, it has to be even better than this one. Or then you're going to start getting people shitting all over the product, and that's when you lose it.
Got you. All right. Well, let's go to our... You had something to say?
Well, I think... Where AEW benefits is they have the hottest talent that was on the market in terms of the elite. So that's the reason why I think they'll be able to sustain. But I agree with Michaels in that it starts to lose its specialty factor, you know. But especially because, I mean, you look at their roster, they've only got a certain amount of guys. And how many times can you see them fight each other? You know, they'll be signing people in the future, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. I love your logic on this. They only got so many guys. How many times can you see them fighting each other? And then, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, but that's all you get with WWE or, you know, Impact or with Ring of Honor. Yeah. Because you have to rely on your big talent. Mm-hmm. And it's up to you to develop people. And eventually... You know, if it successfully works for them and they can keep the business structure together, they'll develop people to come in, obviously. But at the same time, you got to give it time. You can't make these judgments. It's going to be 3 years before we know what the fuck is going to happen. Unless, you know, they shoot through so much money really quick that, it, you know, it's just not turning a profit for the cons, and the cons want.
Right. Well, speaking of money, I'll tell you, on Being the Elite, the episode that aired this week, a little surprising, but Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, in the video. So that tells me they may be, and hopefully they're not, but they may be shooting their load a little early with the money.
Shooting his load. Hold on. Who's shooting? You just said Papa Puff and somebody shooting their load,
What I'm
saying, I don't
saying
like how that conversation sounds.
AEW throwing money at older talent. You know,
nostalgia factor.
Oh my God!
You can't sit there and say it's not nostalgia factor. What the hell is we spending money on?
No. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, I'm like, what?
I'm going with it. What the? I mean, come
well,
on.
Why bring in Papa Pump?
What the hell, Papa Puff gonna do?
Why bring him in?
What are you going to do?
Bring him into what? A fucking YouTube video?
No.
How much is he getting paid, Luck?
Hold on, Michael. Lucky, what are you going to do? Come on now, brother. What are you going to do?
So,
what do you think he should do?
The guy can't even wrestle.
To drop your money right now, double or nothing, that he's not on the show.
I wouldn't drop my money for him for no reason. What are you asking me? I'm still going to go. I'm just saying, if it was just singly about him and he was on the main card, I'd be very disappointed. No offense toward him and what he's accomplished, and we love him, but I'm just saying, to what capacity are you going to put him on?
And
what are you going to do? Is he? I mean, what is he doing?
We saw how much he brought to TNA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was, I mean, you know, that's the thing. The thing is, it's like, you know what? Papa Pump was great. Steiner was amazing when he was part of the tag team and then when he had the singles gimmick right at the end of WCW. From that point on, you know, he's declined. He's health-wise, too.
He's also went to war with WWE. He's been very outspoken about a lot of things as well. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not. No, I don't think anybody right here is saying anything bad about him. We're just saying to what capacity. I think we talked about this last week when we were talking about RVD. It's the same. When you have nostalgic characters, how are you going to book them? How are you going to present them? Are they going to hand out a freaking trophy? Are they just going to come out and say a couple of things? Are they going to be at a concession stand selling popcorn?
I'll tell you what the fuck are they going to do? I'll tell you what they're going to be doing. They're going to be on YouTube.
Well, hey, at least it's a goddamn capacity. That's all I'm merely saying. How?
And a quick fact that you probably didn't know about King Lucky, that was actually his favorite wrestler. So that's why I probably caught his attention.
Hold on, time out. Was you in the mirror, put on some tinfoil all around your forehead and on your shoulders and stuff, and was talking about the ladies? How do you say? You probably do it better
Big
than
Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
All right, let's go to number three.
That was good.
No doubt. So with Kofi's awesome run this past SmackDown leading up to the Elimination Chamber, and of course his match at the Elimination Chamber being amazing, and we cannot forget the great matches that all of the Noonday members have performed. Now, this is going to sound a really dumb question.
Give me one of those matches off the top of your head there. Come on, Impact.
One of those matches?
Yeah, because you just said all those really, really great matches. Name one.
That New Day had?
Like New Day, like with them and the Usos.
That's one.
Which match?
Well, they had like different amounts of match with the Usos. I'm trying to help you, Daryl.
Let me finish. Can I finish my thought? Why is he... Okay, let me get straight to the question.
We can edit that and go back.
Is it time to break up the New Day?
It was the Hell in a Cell match with the Usos. That was the standout match that New Day has had.
So you're saying outside of that match, they haven't altogether, they really haven't had any great matches outside of that one.
They are great at selling product. They're great at selling product, and they're great personalities, and they're great workers.
Okay, so when it comes down
to... Can I tell you off the top of my head, outside of that match, anything else in terms of... can any of you guys tell me? And I honestly don't
know. They've had great matches on SmackDown. Now, don't ask me what episode, because I can't memorize them.
But who have they had the matches with? See, like, I can't even tell you that. How many times have they won the tag champs, the belts? Do you guys know?
I think they're five-time.
Now they're five-time now, but their biggest accolade was holding the title as the
longest running.
Yeah.
Right. So during that whole run of the longest running, like, I can't tell you one feud outside of, you know, the Usos. I can't even come up with one feud.
So in that case, Dan, you would say that maybe it is time to break up the New Day. Let them have their single runs.
I absolutely would.
Boom. Simon, go.
Hell no. Hell no, y'all. Reason
That's
why
the original
hell
New
no.
Day.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, choir and everything.
The reason why I'm going to say no, because it all goes back to there's some tag teams you don't necessarily have to create a storyline to actually break them up. Now, will you see less of them? Maybe. Will you see them do promos separately? Maybe. But I don't think, why would you want to break up the New Day when their merch is selling really good and it doesn't look like it's really slowing down?
Well, Michaels just said that the merch is selling well.
That's what Michaels said.
But he said there's no memorable matches.
Look, God damn it.
Okay.
Sorry. Street said that at the end of the day, it makes no sense to even sit here and waste time talking about if the New Day is going to break up. The fact of the matter
it's not
is.
Not if, we're saying should.
Should? Hell the fuck. No, they're not going to break up.
Okay.
At the end of the day, man, they're good as they are. They can go separate ways. They're versatile enough to where they can do that. I think that if you think about it, let's be honest here, okay?
Okay.
The fact that you had New Day host a WrestleMania speaks volumes. What's the last time?
Yeah, because you couldn't find an opponent to put them against.
Well, at the end of the day, that may be a fact, but I am still saying they did a damn good job doing
that. Yeah, especially when they came out and they're like, and there needs to be another tag team in this. And they had so much confidence that they didn't even fucking put the New Day in. They put the Hardys in.
Okay, but at the end of the day, you make a point.
Hey, when you say the Hardys, what do you think of right away? You think of Edge and Christian, and you think of
the Dudleys.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you think of the New Day.
Longest reigning champions. Tag team champions.
Over what team?
A whole bunch. Do we need to go on Wiki and
No. No, there's one team that was the longest running tag team champs. What team was it?
Was the, I was going to say the Rockers.
Demolition.
Oh, Demolition. Okay.
And you know why?
I'm not that old.
And
sorry.
You know why? You know why they broke that streak of Demolition?
That's right. They did.
Why?
Because Demolition filed a lawsuit.
Fell out of favor.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So outside of the logistical facts that Mr. Michaels has shown, that's great. But we're also going to look at some facts as well. If you look at what their merch sales are continuing to do, why would you walk away from that type of money on the table? Again, when we say break up,
I didn't say turn them heel.
Well, they don't have to turn heel. I don't think that's that. I think they tried that and it didn't work out too well.
But that's... Well, they started off heel.
I know, and it didn't work so well.
Well, no, they started off heel, and then they became faces,
right?
Because of the fact that they were doing catchy shit that the audience.
I'm
liked.
Talking about which did they prefer to be faces? Which did the crowd react better to than being faces than being heels?
Well, they reacted better to the fact that you could buy shit for your 5-year-old kid, and that's what I'm saying. They're not going heel. You're still going to sell merch as faces. They don't have to be together.
Okay, so then what I maybe want to say is, since y'all people want to say the New Day could break up.
You mean y'all people?
You damn right I'm saying y'all people. I'm saying you, goddammit. No, I'm saying in the sense of to what capacity? What capacity? Well, real talk. What capacity?
So here's the thing.
What's a real breakup?
You don't have to necessarily break them up where they turn on each other and things like that. But to me, what they should do is give every single one of them a singles run, right?
I think they're already going to get singles run.
Big E should have had a singles run. Kofi, we know, has had his. Now, the only weak spot.
He's had some before.
The weak spot potentially could be Xavier.
Mm. Not necessarily true.
I think he's the hidden fucking gem. I think this is why they need to give them opportunities is because Xavier has not had that moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And Big E came in as a single, and so did Kofi.
Well, actually, Big E did not come in as a single. He came in as the hired help for Dolph Ziggler.
But yeah, but he still had his single. He still had a single run.
But he did.
You know, he got a chance to be a single. I think Xavier, who I've been waiting for them to let him shine. The other thing that I've always I love the Freebird aspect But at the same time, the problem with that is you keep rotating the three guys, you're not establishing a traditional tag team setting. So why not let one of the guys, you know, do venture off for a little?
Yeah. Again, well, I think you may. That's why I said to what you define what's a breakup.
Well, here's what you could do, right? You got the superstar shakeup coming up. So you could take and break some of that out, right?
That's a good way.
You could take and move Big E to Raw because that's the land of the Giants. And then you could take and keep Xavier and Kofi on SmackDown, but keep them totally separate.
So then, again, even going deeper with that, let's say that does happen. And that's actually a good way to maybe do that, force it. Do they still come out to the New Day music? And it just be a brand that just, you know, physically separated for the television. You see what I'm saying?
You can still market the same type of New Day-esque merchandise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can still have Big E come out and throw pancakes out of his dong audience.
It's not out of his dong. Have you ever really pulled a pancake out of your dong? I mean, I haven't, and I don't even want to even imagine what that feels like.
Well, Impact can't catch a pancake that comes out of someone's
hey,
dong.
Hey, look, I ain't catching no pancakes come out of no man's pants.
Yeah, but no, I think to what Michaels is saying, yes, you can still have elements of that personality, but at the same time, you want to do different theme songs and different entrances to help build character.
And to sell more merch.
Yeah, why not? You can still sell New Day merch and sell other merch.
Okay, right. So what I'm saying is that really a traditional breakup? Because when I think of a breakup where tag teams are involved, most times it's a heel type of thing where somebody either throws someone through a barbershop window or somebody hits someone with the back of a chair or mm-hmm. somebody low blow. It's always a heel type of development traditionally. You know, sometimes it's been where we walk away, go our separate ways type of thing. I'm just wondering to what capacity, because I feel like that is important, not only for
Paige is doing nothing I'd ever with Xavier.
Oh wow. what is the team going to be called? Same Page.
That sounds good to me.
There you go.
Yeah,
aren't they missing
that's
a third?
Quite the page turner.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
But yes, I think
you guys,
I mean it's unconventional, right? But I think it works
well. You're entitled to your opinions. I just think it makes no damn sense for them to break them up, to have people get tangled. Maybe it's just me. I'm a little biased with them, too. You know, I have been on the network TV because of New Day.
Well, that
you
is
know,
true.
I will say, you know, maybe that's part of the reason
Simon
why.
Did get 15 seconds of fame.
That's right.
No, it was way less than that. It was like 15 minus 10 seconds.
You can catch him on the WrestleMania 33 network special.
Yes. You can also ask his exes if that is true.
Well, one thing that's the truth out of everything they just said is that I received no checks for that 5 seconds.
All right. Also, hey, so let's go right into our TV battle royal. And just speaking of, we were talking about New Day. Let's just go right into Kofi now.
Yes, please.
Now, tell me, he had an amazing match, the SmackDown leading to Elimination Chamber, and then, of course, Elimination Chamber itself. It's time for him pretty much to have the belt. What do you guys think about this?
Well, it was the perfect launching pad for him to do his singles run.
Okay.
You know, you can't start him off. I don't think, first of all, I don't think he's going to get the WWE Championship.
Sure.
You know, let's be real realistic.
But he should.
Why would
he?
Lucky.
He could.
Why would he not? Why would he not get the WWE Championship? Tell me, brother. Testify.
Well, I'll tell you this. First off, the fact that Daniel Bryan, they have this nice belt that he created. I couldn't see him getting off of that belt and it going to someone else that quickly.
No, yeah. No. Well, okay, that's one reason. Lucky. Well, what's another reason? He's not going to get the WWE, primarily the WWE Championship.
I don't want to put the carriage before the horses. But he needs to build up, give him a singles run with, like, let's say, the United States Championship first.
Yeah, because he's never had anything like that
before. He's had it before. He's had it.
I'm about to say, I'm like, he's had it.
He's had it, but he needs to be reestablished as a singles competitor.
Okay, how long has he been in the in the WWE? Oh, just the WWE.
Isn't it 11? I think it's 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Over a decade. Okay. What's the real reason? Is anybody else gonna say it?
Oh, he's a black man. Oh shit, I'm the white
Thank
guy
you.
Saying this.
Thank you. Because I was about to say it.
That's totally not where I was going.
I know you weren't going, but I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. It's just like, you know, that's what I think. Some people will reveal. That's why I got excited when I watched him possibly get it, just the way I felt with other people almost possibly could have got it.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're putting a championship on Lashley. So if you're going to...
It wasn't the WWE title.
The heavyweight. Well, whatever title it was, it still shouldn't have been put on him.
I'm only talking about the WWE championship.
No, that's true.
I'm only talking about that one.
Yeah. But
we have not had a legitimate
black man.
Why it
is that way,
man.
I don't know.
Wait. All right. So, in all seriousness, you do not consider The Rock a legitimate black man?
I would say if you were to ask the quorum of the culture in big numbers, they're not going to say that he would 100% count. But sometimes that same group of people are very fickle because they'll say Obama is black, when in all actuality, he is a person with mixed race descent. I'm just being honest.
I think King Lucky has something to say.
Yeah, please.
All right. First of all,
this is our Black History Month segment.
It's February. Apparently, that's what it's turning into.
It's February.
But anyway, I mean, yes, has there been a lack of? Of course. But that's not the reason why Kofi won't get it. And The Rock was considered, I mean, for goodness sakes, he was in the Nation of Domination. I mean, you can't get any blacker than that.
That's television. We're talking about a little bit more along the lines of...
No, but we're directly talking about
We can make a poll.
All right, well, that'd be a poll. But I think it's... I mean, while I think there is, you know, definitely an opportunity for more, that I don't think that's the reason why he wouldn't get it.
I'm not saying that's not the reason why. I was actually joking with you. I just want to know, when are we going to get someone? If you grab somebody and they didn't have great eyesight and they saw Kofi Kingston or anybody who was black outstandingly, I guess you could say, by vision, when are we going to get that from the WWE? For the WWE championship. That's all I'm asking. Now, whether or not if that goes in the equation of why Kofi's not going to get it or whatnot, there's more to do with the fact that it may possibly happen for Fastlane. Of why he may not get it versus anything else.
Well, there was definitely a missed opportunity for Kofi to be champion when he faced off Randy Orton for that championship match on SmackDown several years ago.
Yep, I remember that.
And, I mean, Kofi went way out, and I actually thought that he was about to get it.
Especially when he was on top of the car and he messed up his whole car and everything. I thought that was cool.
Well, the problem with Kofi at that time, too, don't forget, is that he was still so Jamaican.
Yeah,
right. You couldn't understand what he was saying. So they didn't give him the ball. But you know what? It's a good point about the WWE title. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got Booker and you got Mark Henry, who have held the world championships.
Yes,
you know, in the Federation. So you know there is, you know, is it race? I don't know. I personally have always thought that. You know, there is a tendency not to push the black athlete as champion because and it's really weird because Vince adores Martin Luther King Jr. Anyone you just see, you know, anyone talking about Martin Luther King Jr. and Vince McMahon, he's been one of the biggest people for years and years and years on MLK Day. You know, there's always some kind of tribute or something going on. But yeah, in the same breath, The Rock is the only one who's held that belt, and some people would say that it's legitimately not a, you know, a black champion. So,
but even if The Rock, if pretty much is the only one of color that has held the belt, why hasn't there been
more
from the beginning of time since up to that point? Why hasn't there been another champion? Have no one else was worthy enough to get to that particular level? I mean, that's a question.
They missed the boat. I would say with Henry. Oh, yeah. I mean, Mark Henry could have been. Mark Henry has always been an enigma because
I don't think they've ever really found exactly how to use him in that capacity. But no, I think the biggest missed opportunity was the Junkyard Dog.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
He was a man who was as popular as Hogan and could have been mainstream. That's true. But at that time, you were building the company. So you kept putting Hogan as your face. In the end, it's always been very racist.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look at the history of wrestling, it was very racist.
True.
And one of the things being is that, you know, unfortunately, you sell to also a certain audience.
Sure.
You know, what gets me about this time frame for this company is they're sitting on the gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to fuck it up. Mm. And that's Velveteen.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Patrick is definitely a guy who's got it all.
Yeah, that's true.
And he could be your crossover. He could be your John Cena of, you know, African American.
Well, you look.
Some people. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, you look at him and you're like, oh my God, he's got 5-star matches every single show that he's on, right?
Yeah.
And where's the belt? Where's the title? Where's the big push?
Are we talking about Velveteen?
We're talking about Velveteen.
Well, I will say this, and before I go into that, full disclosure, I'm not trying to pick a fight or point out what Vince may or may not do, because I'm not him. I don't know him. But I will say that there are many instances to where, like you were saying, Michaels, with the timeline, you could be pulling the trigger to where that checkbox that I mentioned earlier could be checked. And we're like, okay, they did it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Velveteen Dream, I think that I've heard other people say that, well, why is he getting this? Why is he getting that? I think that, if anything, my opinion, I think that's probably, if I were to be a smart mark for 2 seconds, I would say, if anything, I would hope that that's Hunter and the NXT people trying to hold back, because I will tell you this, and I want to go deep into it. I'm seeing a change of how WWE, particularly the main roster, is changing how they have NXT come in and how they want to utilize them. They're finding out there's different ways. So I'm hoping if all these changes solidify and are very prosperous, that by the time he does come up, he will be able to reap the rewards, because as we all probably agreed, he is ready. I mean, he is the one that has everything going for him.
Yeah. Well, and even if he's not directly ready, let's say, you know, within the next year or 2 years, he is the one guy that I look at that I can actually put my finger down and say, he's got it.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got it. He might be a little green still, but he's got it.
I agree. Yeah, but getting back to Kofi.
To the fact where John Cena said he wanted to wrestle him, you know, that's a pretty big feather in your cap. If Cena, who's watching the product, watching everybody, says, I want to face Velveteen Dream,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe he wants to do the honors and do the favors and put him over.
So what the hell, speaking of the you know, Elimination Chamber and Black Champions, Lashley, what the fuck is going on? So, okay, they're not friends, but then they were friends, him and Leo.
You're talking about him and Leo?
Yeah, what the hell is, I think
the only people that can answer that is probably Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. It you know, I'm pretty sure if Rush did not take him to the promised land, as they keep saying it, that, you know, he wouldn't go back to the well, even though the little shit screwed him up for his Intercontinental title. I mean, that should have been an easy win for Finn based on the numbers, but Finn overcame and won the IC title. But I think that Leo, for the sake of the storyline, is legitimately sorry and legitimately can take him back to the promised land.
Yeah, but what I don't get, and, you know, correct me if you guys don't see it, why then you have a pay-per-view match.
Mm-hmm.
He fucks up. Why did you have Lashley then do a move on him afterwards, only to have on the next night on Raw Lashley double team with him?
I understand what you're saying.
And then you also had Lashley come out and help beat down Braun. I'm just confused what the fuck they're doing with this guy.
Yeah.
I do see your point when you say that. With it, it, and even then, I was like, oh, so we're doing this again when he came out to go beat up Braun. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's very broken up.
Yeah. And then,
holes.
And then you throw Drew into that whole thing, too. It's like, what are they doing? This is the I guess the level of the tier of performers that makes me so confused, because it looks like one week we're pushing your ass and then the next week, well, maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's crash booking, and I'm not a fan of it, because you should have never...
Hold on, time out. It's legitimately called crash booking?
No.
I was just wondering. That sounds cool.
No. It could be.
Did you say trash or crash?
Crash.
I
no.
Thought, okay.
Crash.
Wow.
It can't be crash booking anymore because he died about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Crash Holly. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. I thought Lashley shouldn't have slammed Leo Rush on Sunday. You know, he should have just rolled out.
He could have been totally pissed at him.
Yeah, he could have just been pissed off.
Right.
And left the ring and then... You know,
just
the,
confusing.
The
but let
Monday
me ask you this question. I'm sorry. He kind of did, now that I think about it, when he went up the ring and he was like, rah, like he lost it. Like it would have been nice if they had presented that small little sliver that happened at when he walked up the ring at Elimination Chamber and then following Raw. If they had done something, maybe a quick little segment backstage would have been a little bit better.
I think it was the way to make him not look weak after they lost that match. To have him do that strong point.
Yeah, I guess the way to make him not look weak is to slam down Leo Rush.
Yeah.
Someone need to call child services.
Yeah.
That wasn't even right.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, when you talk about this strange writing, am I tripping on this for this past Raw, this past Monday night? Dean Ambrose, I was completely confused at what now. I guess we could say it is true. Is I guess he's leaving, so it doesn't matter. But what was that whole spot about? It was, you know, he picks a fight. He gets beat up in 2 seconds. He doesn't even come out in his heel music anymore. So I guess now he's a face again. I'm confused with what are they doing. Is he just riding his time out? Again, I'm confused.
Fucking got me, man.
So here's the thing. And I'm going to maintain what I've been saying.
Okay.
I think it's a work, okay? I think that they are setting up Dean to be huge. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that this is a long play.
So he's a face now?
I think...
No, he's crazy.
He's unpredictable.
He's fucking crazy.
And he's crazy. The okay. Asylum,
because,
right?
And don't forget, too, they did the vignette backstage where Seth was being interviewed.
Right.
And then Dean comes up. And Dean, yeah, and Dean didn't even know what the fuck he was talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Why did this theme change?
This is how crazy people are.
So
real okay. crazy people.
So okay. All right. I was just confused. I was looking
they
for
make
the
no
sirens.
Fucking sense.
I was waiting for the sirens to hit, and now it's back to this original music. And
yeah, okay. But I think you could have him being crazy, him being a lunatic. And it could absolutely work, right? They're probably throwing a lot of different things at the wall, hoping that it'll stick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for him, the freedom now to kind of go out there and do whatever he wants is liberating. And now you could potentially have a small Shield reunion where they screw Brock and help Seth win and celebrate at the end of Mania.
But again, you can do it.
But it needs Roman.
It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because it's like, then why'd you turn him heel in the fucking first place?
Right.
Yeah. It's crash booking again.
Yeah.
But sticking along those lines of, like, where are things going with this booking and stuff? Okay, Revival, they get belts.
Right.
Yep. How awesome is that?
That's great. Awesome.
Freaking amazing.
I love it.
And then the next week on Raw,
right.
Let's have them job to NXT guys.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what's
going on. I agree.
Going on,
right. I agree with that.
You know what I think it possibly could be? Is I think that sometimes when you're on top and you're doing good, okay? I think that sometimes you're like, you know what? why the fuck not? Do you see what I'm saying? And it's just not meant to mean anything. It's probably a freaking Wonderland lottery for smart marks who are really trying to just figure out the Da Vinci code with this booking to where the lines cross and where is it going
to
lead.
So WWE just trying to put a show just to get through the night so they can figure it out something else. Yeah,
they've done it before.
Well, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
But
yeah.
Then they had Ciampa and Gargano go over on whatchamacallit, on the bar.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I think you're building credibility for those guys.
No, I totally get the building credibility, but the bar, not tag team champions.
Very true.
Were tag team champions. That's fine. What I don't understand is how you have them go against the people you just put the fucking belt on. You're making them look better. That's what you can say that they're, you know, it's a smart mark thing, but I'm just talking basic storytelling.
Yeah, it's very fragmented.
It's really fragmented. Yeah. And so it makes the revival look... This is unfortunately what I feel, that everyone who cried that, oh, the revival, they want their release, and they want to go to AEW, and this is going to be... And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, well, I guess when if you ask for a release, you get championship belts. And then it's like, so now are they getting punished? Because
right,
they,
right.
You know, it just... It's like from that aspect, that even doesn't concern me. My concern is you have a story here to tell. What kind of story are you telling? I mean, because you just absolutely destroyed Rude and Gable now.
Yes. Right. Yes.
They're done. You just buried them lower than, you know, my grandmother, you know, in the fucking graveyard. So I don't know. I really wish that some aspect of thought was put into how you go about doing something like that.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Well, I can only say this. Let's bring it back. You asked us originally what we thought of Kofi winning. I would like to say my piece about it.
Okay.
I found it to be very heartwarming the way it was presented, because going into the chamber, even myself, I looked at Kofi going in the same way I do with the Rumble. He's going to be exciting to watch. He's going to do some really thrilling stuff, but I don't see them as him to get a push or to get a rub or anything. But to see him eliminate key opponents and in the fashion he did, to me, was realistically reasonable.
Yeah, it was so good to see him go over on Samoa Joe.
That was huge. No,
you know, that's what I'm saying about, like, fucking just, they have no continuity to these characters they're building nowadays. Like, Joe should be a, you know,
monster
again,
heel.
Monster. Right. And
the biggest heel in the company.
Very, very easy to do, you know, but you're doing things like having him, like, go out right away in the Elimination Chamber.
But I will say this, and the only reason why I was okay with a lot of that, if Kofi had been someone just from NXT at the same caliber that he's been at for a while, like caliber level, then I could see myself feeling the same way. But because Kofi has been in the business for a good amount of time, and for them to have that type of opportunity for him, it was great to watch. Everybody yucked it up. But the best part for me was more the crowd reaction. That, to me, is what made it really something special. Let me finish, and then y'all guys can go at it, and I will listen. I really loved the love that people had. And that's the thing that, at least for me, I love about wrestling in general, whether it's the small promotion or if it's the WWE. When the crowd gets behind somebody and it didn't happen and build up throughout the weeks, that to me is magical.
I think that's bullshit.
Mm. Well, it's my fucking bullshit.
I like my bullshit.
It's my bullshit.
I think that's total bullshit, though, because why the fuck do you have stories then? Are we just going to go, oh, you know what? Kofi, we haven't seen him, and he's just, okay, yay. It's just like there was no build.
I see your point. But the thing is that can't be the mainstead. I get what you're saying. That should not be the formula for how we run things. But when you have an opportunity and you're able to capitalize it, the same thing, same god dang thing we did with Becky Lynch, the man, when she got punched in the face, she took a good opportunity. Yes, she was already building up, mind you, a little different from Kofi. But when you take opportunities and you run with it and you capture it, that's really what the proof in the pudding is.
Yeah, but Becky and Kofi are totally different.
But I said, in the sense of, they're similar in the sense of you took an opportunity to maximize an opportunity when the crowd was deeply engaged.
Yeah, but Kofi had that opportunity like 7 years ago, yeah, and he took advantage
but
of it.
But we're talking about tonight. Or not tonight. We're talking about Elimination Chamber.
So the guy put on a good match and people cheered for him. That's great.
But they were able to maximize on it. That's all I'm really saying. It could have been anybody. I'm just saying that that's the great thing about wrestling. Is that when you're able to take that, it's like the perfect fucking dream. I mean, you can't sit up here and any of y'all say that. If you had an opportunity to be in that ring, okay, and you had everybody screaming your name, showing you love, even though you lost, well, that's a beautiful fucking picture. Is it not? I mean, if it isn't, then please say something.
Yeah, but you're... Okay, go ahead, Lucky. Get in on this, please.
Oh, are we tapping out? That... No, tell me. Are you tapping out?
No,
are
you tapping out?
Can I get
dream?
The tap out? Can I get
that's
the tap
not
out?
A tap out. That's
Michael's
a tag in.
Tapping out.
That is a tag
oh,
in.
Oh, a tag in. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm here to expound on this wet dream that Rome's having over here.
Okay.
But you know what? It was a great moment, right? And they showcased him, and they showcased him on SmackDown, and then they showcased him at the pay-per-view, and I thought it was good. However,
and that was 1 week.
That was 1 week,
ladies and gentlemen.
Same week,
one fucking week.
However, you spent a lot of time back to what Michaels was talking about: storytelling, AJ, Joe, all these different characters that you've built, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do I want to see Kofi go over on Joe? Absolutely not. Kofi at best, right? And I love Kofi, but Kofi at best has never been a world champion.
I want to see Kofi go over on Jeff Hardy. Because that starts establishing him. I wouldn't mind seeing him go with AJ, because that would establish him. But see, you're talking the opportunity in the moment. Well, that's a great, you know, we respect you moment. Fine, that's wonderful. But give me the fucking build, you know.
What's the long play?
Right, exactly.
But there's not always a build.
It has to be your storytelling.
No, please, for fuck's sake. It doesn't have to always be a fucking build.
They're in the business of telling stories.
Look,
let me tell you.
It doesn't have to always be a fucking build. You better get your fucking big boy pants on, because wrestling, let me tell you, we're going to start seeing a lot of these out of the fucking nowhere. Fucking don't need a fucking build all the time.
Let me tell you the
how many fucks am I allotted on the show today?
I don't know. As many as you want. All right. Right? But the longest play right now is the play that they've had from last year when they signed Ronda Rousey to have her main event WrestleMania this year. That's the long play. That's the long storytelling.
Okay. And that's respectable.
Okay.
We're talking about a business that
built on storytelling.
It couldn't hurt to have different ways of when. Okay, so you're sitting here telling me that wrestling is going to be booked the same as all these years. They're not going to try something new.
That's the reason
it's
why
not
we love
it. It's not
going to
evolve in something else.
That's the reason why we love it.
But is it going to? So okay. You got to tell me it's not going
to
evolve.
So what's going to happen though? So you listen to the fans, you throw the belt on Kofi, and then the fans fucking go dead after 2 weeks of him.
Again,
with the belt.
All I'm merely
saying.
Yeah,
I see that happening.
I'm not.
Oh, they turn it on them.
Oh, they turn on.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying that it has to be exactly as you pictured it. I'm just saying if it lands in your lap that night and you can build whatever you can, even if, let's say, just for the Kofi, let's say he doesn't even get picked to face Brian and
this
pass
is the same
away.
Motherfucker who was just saying, well, we can't break up the New Day.
No, I'm just merely saying, let me finish.
And now he's fucking at Kofi being booked as the champion.
And apparently there is no more New Day.
No,
you're not listening, Michaels. You're not listening because I didn't say that. All I'm merely saying is, Sunday night, Elimination Chamber, the shit was magical. However long you can stretch that fucking rubber band, stretch that fucking rubber band. I'm not saying put the title on him. I'm not fucking Vince McMahon. I'm not fucking WWE.
I hope you're not fucking Vince McMahon.
How much would I get paid? How much would I get paid?
But no, I see,
all I'm
what, I see
saying,
what you're saying.
I'm just saying, The WWE and other promotions, just in general, if you can find other ways other than storytelling, which is the backbone, and I agree to that, why not? Do I agree that he should have went over on Samoa Joe? No, but it just is what it was.
But see, that's the problem here. You have to be strategic. Where is that going to go? If you had him go with Jeff Hardy, if you had him go with AJ, you could tell different stories, could have some incredible matches.
Look, if the WWE was known for never, ever accidentally just dropping off storylines, then I'd agree with you 100%. The WWE's been known for having great stories, and just one day, they just disappeared like Thanos just came in and says, oh, your storyline? Fuck you. That's happened so many times.
Yeah, but again, the point is, when you're talking about a championship, you can't just go off of one crowd reaction and then just feeling that crowd reaction and then just giving the belt over because of the fact that you want to at least take advantage of milking that to build it up, to make it something. You know, I guess, you know, what we're kind of feeling here is that you're saying, well, why not go with it?
I didn't say give him the belt, though.
Well, then why are we having this conversation?
I did not say that. Okay, we can rewind it back. I never said give him the belt. What I am basically saying is that at the end of the day, milk it for what it's worth. Take advantage of the opportunity. It's great for Kofi down the road, or if it's not. If the rumors are true and he is going to be the person that is going to face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane and he doesn't win, fine. All I'm merely saying is let's not shit on it because he had to go over on a couple of guys. It does suck for Joe because they've been fucking choking.
You know what
Joe.
You're doing, though, right?
What am I doing?
You know what you're doing.
I'm not smart marking.
You're grabbing the tit before you kiss the neck.
But I do that all the time.
That's the wrong.
Why do you think I'm so premature. Single? I'm just playing. No, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm very passionate about it because I really just think that like I said, storytelling is very important, and I don't want to take nothing away from Kofi and what he experienced last night, whether it was planned or not. I thought that it was a great segment to end out Elimination Chamber. Your brothers come in there, they support you, they kind of call you out and say, why are you crying? Stuff like that. I thought that was cool. And I think that's what, going back to what we talked about earlier, that's why I don't want to see the New Day traditionally break up that WWE has done in the past.
And you know what I would have done?
What would you have done?
And you want to play Fantasy Booker here? I'll totally play Fantasy Booker. The minute I heard that crowd, and the minute I saw their reaction, I would have told those guys before they went down there, turn on them.
Oh, my gosh.
I would have fucking buried him. Because then he would have been put over and made.
Huge.
Probably. But that's how WWE in the past, maybe not exactly like that, they have broken up tag teams. Do you see what I'm saying? So whenever y'all say, are we breaking up the New Day, is that going to be the way that they're going to break them up? Or is it just going to be like, we're going our separate ways doing whatever we do?
Is there anything else this past pay-per-view or during the week that caught your interest? Maybe Ronda and Ruby Riott. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
It wasn't Ronda. It wasn't Ronda. It was Sonya Blade.
Oh.
Yeah. Sonya Blade?
Yeah, from Mortal Kombat. That's what she came out in the ring to. Oh, Sonya Blade. She is the voice for Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat 11. Respect that shit, Michael.
That was probably her best cosplay to date.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
I was excited.
All right. Anything else that stood out to anyone?
Yeah, but you know, I'll go a step further on that.
Sure.
Though. I really, boy, do we have to bring out Vince McMahon? Do we?
I know, right.
I mean, especially for announcing the suspension like that, just right. Fucking play Hunter up in that role now.
Yeah.
Make him the fucking asshole, dick, evil guy.
Right.
What the fuck?
Where does that go?
That's it. That's where I'm with you. The only thing I could see is that if there's some way, and I know this is Vince, and there's a good chance he's going to fucking do it, that we find out that Charlotte did some favors.
Oh my gosh.
Right, to get in.
I don't even want to think about that.
So does it have to be a three-way? It's not going to be...
Oh no, it's just Charlotte and Vince together.
Well... For the match at WrestleMania. So go ahead, man.
Well, here's what I think. Again, back to when they signed Ronda, they knew that they wanted her to headline Mania, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person that you would have her headline Mania with is your strongest talent, Charlotte Flair.
Right.
What they didn't anticipate is 4 to 5 months ago, Becky picking up all this traction.
Yeah.
And catching, you know, really the love and admiration of the fans. And so now you have to rework everything where you still have those two, Ronda and Charlotte, as the main event. But now you have to incorporate Becky. And I think that's where they're at right now. They're buying time because you still have 7 weeks, if you will.
So who does Asuka face?
Asuka who?
Your mom.
Yeah. Well, I definitely like your theory about all four of the women holding the belt.
I don't see why you don't have Charlotte versus Asuka, and you have Charlotte go over on Asuka again, and then you do a third one next year where Asuka finally wins at WrestleMania over Charlotte.
I could see that.
That's called storytelling.
I'd buy it. That's long-term storytelling. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, Simon looked like he ain't even responding. He ain't going to say nothing about that. He tired of y'all talking about
it. Oh, hey, we missed one huge thing, guys. D-Generation X, Hall of Fame.
That's right.
All right.
Does Billy show up?
Oh, of course. Of course, because he's behind the scenes.
Of course.
Billy is
with AEW. But here's the thing. Who inducts them?
I don't know.
Stomp the Chomp.
Because they're all a part of the group.
Yeah.
You
have to pick somebody from the Attitude Era, obviously. But I think it's going to be interesting who they pick.
And I have a question too. If they're inducting, they are inducting D-Generation X, that would be a good way to get. Because is China's never? Has she been in the Hall of Fame? No,
no. This is China's.
This is how they get a step up to inducting her in the Hall of Fame. As just her single career, do you think?
I don't think she'll.
I'm
just wondering, just curious.
Now that she's gone, you'd have to have one of her family members representing her. I don't know even if there's going to be anyone present at this. I would hope there would be. I think that this is your opportunity also to put, because you could say the same thing. Well, do you put the Outlaws in as a tag team? Yeah. Because of how they did things. Mm-hmm. It's really just a retrospective way to get in collectively X-Pac and Road Dogg and Billy and China. The bigger question is, so does Rick Rude go in a second time? And does Tori, not Tori Wilson, but Tori, who was part of DX
That's right.
X-Pac's side piece. And then, in that matter, you also had Kane as part of DX for about a cup of coffee.
But I think they're only just talking about the core, though, thankfully.
Because
let's be honest, the day that they induct the NWO into the Hall of Fame, if they were to list every fucking body, oh my gosh.
The only way Scott Norton and Buff Bagwell are getting in.
Yeah, but you know what? If you do it NWO, you have to do LWO.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I guess so.
That joke just died like Eddie.
Yeah, man.
Usually
you own it, man. That one was, man, that was sour.
Nobody was has sour. Love for the LWO. Wow.
Huh? I know, but
just, all right. Well, there it is.
Well, anything else you guys enjoyed on wrestling this week? I'm watching ROH. I'm a big fan. One thing I got to tell you, my boy Jay Lethal. Now, first off, I am a little upset because...
Wipe your mouth.
Okay, man. First off, they changed his theme music. And I don't like that. I don't like when you change my favorite wrestler's theme music.
All right. Boy, you must be upset all the time. Because wrestlers always change the theme music.
I know, but that one I just love. But Lethal, which is now a two-time ROH World Champion, recently made history of his own, breaking the record for the most combined days as champion and surpassing Samoa Joe's record of 645 days. You go, bro. That's what I'm talking about. Jay Lethal.
Who else would do it?
You said who else would do it? I have no clue.
Jay Lethal's talented. But who else?
Well,
I don't know about all that, but what I was going to tell you that
you don't know he's talented?
No, I don't know what y'all talking about. Oh, I wanted to say something with regards to Jay Lethal.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that, you know, there's been a lot of, can you say it for, how do you say it, Lucky, whenever rumor has it?
Rumor has
yes,
it.
Yes, thank you. Rumor has it that, you know, Nick Aldis wants a match with Jay Lethal. So, you know, what do you think? I mean, would I think that would be a decent match, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd be excited to see it. I don't know what the booking would be like, but.
I mean, Jay put on good matches regardless. So, I couldn't see why that would be a problem. Right now, he's trying to maintain that belt going into the G1 supercard. And, you know, if he could definitely hold on to that, that would just be amazing. I watched this past week's show, and he's was a...
Well, you sound like a little kid. Well, if he could definitely hold the belt, that would be amazing.
Well, I am a little
it's
kid,
not
Dad.
Really, it's he's not really... Out. Yeah, it's not really his choice. It's called booking, everybody.
Listen, in wrestling, I like to pretend that it is just in my own world.
It's okay? Still real.
It's still real. Thank you. Don't try to take that away from me.
I'm not trying Please. To take it away from you.
See, Dad, you're the one over here, son. It's not real.
All I'm saying, you know? All I'm saying is the hand right now would be 20 years old.
No doubt. Anyway, it's good programming on ROH right now, and if you could catch it, definitely check it out.
And ROH is going to be in Las Vegas at Sam's Town Casino on March 15th and 16th.
Get tickets Las now. Vegas.
That's right. Tickets are on sale, and your bad boys will be in the house.
Yes, sir.
Just as we were for Impact Wrestling taping.
Yes.
So... This is an exciting time for wrestling. Fellas, you have anything else as we about to call it a night that you want to talk about? Definitely mention our guests. I'm going to let one of y'all elaborate a little bit more on that. Boom. Next week.
So pretty much our next guest.
Yo.
It's going to be one half of Crime Time. JTG.
Brooklyn.
So it's going to be a real fun interview. I think that a lot of people listening are going to be excited for this one. I actually think a lot of ladies are going to be excited to hear from him. And yeah, that's coming out on the 25th. So remember, if you like us, subscribe, listen. We are here all day, every day.
And, just a reminder to anyone who follows us on Twitter recently, we tweeted out Quintessential Pro Wrestling. It's going to be coming to Las Vegas on March 14th, which is a Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And that's going to be held at the Future Stars Wrestling Arena, which is at 6035 Harrison Drive, Suite 5 in Las Vegas. And you can get front row tickets for $60, $40 for second row, $30. Okay. General admission. You can PayPal at danque2@yahoo.com. And main event, two UFC big time legends collide in the square circle. It's Filthy Tom Lawler versus Josh Barnett. But we also get to see the Reno Scum and the Rascals go at it, which is going to be great.
Awesome.
And Joey Ryan is going to be on the card.
Of course.
Going in a...
Yeah.
I don't even know what the match is going to be. We'll give you more on that next week, but it's going to be quite a card. Please come out and support Quintessential Pro Wrestling.
No doubt. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, again, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram handles. All you got to do is put that in. You can also email us also at vegasofbadboyspodcasting.com. I'm your host, Impact, for King, Lucky, Simon Street, and Matt Michaels. We are out.